Our Father and our God, this morning we honor thee and thank thee for the mercy and the grace that in Christ Jesus thou hast bestowed upon us. Father, we now pray for mercy and grace as thy word is declared. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For the baby boomers and the Generation X, in those days, dinner was not complete without a special beverage, and it was called Kool-Aid. Now, for you that are Gen Zs and millennials, you might be wondering exactly what this is. You might need to ask your parents. They will tell you. You know, Kool-Aid usually comes in a powdered form and in different colors. Now, there is no special skill needed to make a Kool-Aid drink. All you need to do is actually to put the Kool-Aid powder in a jar, add water, and you add sugar. A lot of sugar. As the saying goes, the sweeter, the better. But the drink is not complete until you take a huge spoon, a huge, usually wooden spoon, and you begin to mix it all together. You stick it in the jar and you mix it up together. If you don't mix it together, you are going to get what I call WaterAid, because the powder and the sugar would just sit on the bottom of the jar and the water would be on top. And my favorite color of Kool-Aid was red. But I tell you what, it's going to take you to an early grave. But it is not only Kool-Aid that needs to be mixed together to get a good drink. Metaphorically, in order to be spiritually fruitful and to grow in grace, you and I need to do some more mixing. You and I need to mix together two things, the word of God and faith. Yes, it is good to hear and know and study the word of God. But if you don't mix what you hear with faith, you will be ultimately unfruitful for Christ. Writing to his audience, the writer of Hebrews will now put it like this. He said, "For indeed we have heard the good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And if there is one narrative in the Bible that best depicts this truth, it can actually be found in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. In the journey of the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land. And what I'm going to do this morning is to let you see the example of the danger of not mixing Word of God with faith. And also to be able to deduce principles that will help us to avoid the same pitfall. This is what brings me this morning to Numbers chapter 13. Now, by way of context, let us begin here. You know, after the liberation from Egyptian captivity, the children of Israel began to press towards the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. And after many days, they arrived at the threshold of the Promised Land, at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Then we read in chapter 13, verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel, and you shall send a man from each of their father's tribe, everyone a leader among them." Now, I want you to pay attention to this instruction given by the Lord, because when you actually go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22, it was the people that initiated this idea. Because Moses, in recounting this event, will tell us in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22, that then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us, that they may go and search out the land for us, and bring back to us words of the way by which we should go, and the cities which we shall enter. And the thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe. So it was the people that initiated this idea. God just sanctioned it. And he told Moses here, he said, Moses, I want you to go ahead. I want you to select men that will go into Canaan to spy out the land. Now, I want you to also watch in this verse what God will tell Moses. He said, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. That's very important, everybody, because God is already saying to Moses and to the people of Israel, giving them his word of promise. This is what I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. Moses will reiterate again the same thing when you go back to Deuteronomy, when he was recounting that event. He said in verse 21, chapter 1, he said, God said, see, the Lord your God has placed the land before you to go and take possession of it. So the word of promise was there for the children of Israel, that God has given you this land. You going to spy out the land is just formality. Because God has said, this is your land. Go and take possession of it. Also, when you pay attention again to this verse, this instruction to Moses by the Lord, what you'll always see is that God said to Moses, I want you to select one man from every tribe, but the men must be leaders of their tribe. The implication being that they are meant to be men of strong spiritual pedigree. Men who understands the oracle of God. And those are the ones that Moses was to pick to go and spy out the land. You might say, but is that important? Yes, because they are men that should be men of faith. Men that understands the will and the purposes of God. Men that understand who God is. Those were the ones that should go to spy out the land. So with this instruction given to Moses, Moses now goes ahead and select 12 men as God has instructed him. And when he selected the men, he comes to verse 17 of Numbers chapter 13. And Moses instructed this man. He said, go up into the Negev, then you will go up into the hill country. He said, and you will see whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they open camps or with fortification? How is the land? Is it fat or lame? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land. Now, I want you to pay attention to the instruction Moses now gives to these 12 men. The instruction was to go into this land and check out what I call the geography of this land, check out the vitality of this land, and see how this land looks in terms of their military strength. One thing Moses did not tell this man, Moses did not tell them that you should figure out whether we can conquer them. You should figure out whether we can gain victory over them. Moses did not tell them that. The reason Moses did not say that to them was because Moses knew that God had given them this land, that the victory comes from God because of the word of promise. What Moses was instructing this man, go and check it out. Tell us how the land looks. Bring the fruit of the land. Let us taste it because God has already given us this land. And this instruction is going to be important because when the spies will come back, you will see what it say. So we read now that they began to go on this mission. And the 12 men departed and went to spy out the promised land. 40 days they went to spy the promised land. And when 40 days was over, they returned back to the camp at the wilderness of Paran. And then they proceeded to call Moses and all the congregation of Israel together in the wilderness. And they brought them back word as it relates to what they discovered. And they began to tell the people, he said, listen, the land that we went to is indeed filled with milk and honey. That's what it said in verse 26. But they said, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalek are living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of Jordan. Now, I wanted to pay attention to what this man said. There is absolutely nothing wrong with them presenting this report to Moses with these few things. They told Moses, listen, Moses, the vitality of the land is great. Milk, honey running through the land. In other words, the land was rich. It was a beautiful land. Then they went ahead to tell Moses the military composition of this land, or the inhabitants of this land. They said, listen, we have this group of people, and you can see the amount of people, the tribes living in the land of Canaan. That was still good, because that was still part of their mission. But after they said this, we see Caleb. Caleb now comes in the next verse to chip in, and Caleb said to the men, he said, we shall surely go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. In other words, Caleb here was optimistic. Caleb here understood the promise of God. Caleb here understood that God who brought them from Egypt and delivered them from the power of Pharaoh is the same God who will give them this land. And Caleb was optimistic. And Caleb said, listen, we can take them out. We can actually defeat this group of people. But here is where the problem comes in. Because the moment Caleb said that, 10 of the 12 men began to say to the people, but the man who had gone up with him said, we are not able to come up against this people, for they are too strong for us. And then they began to give the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. They said, the land in which we went up to spy, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people who we saw are men of great size. And we saw the Nephilims, the son of Enoch, in the part of the land. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we are in their sight. So what this man had done, they had looked at the challenge and sized up their own strength and said, we look like little insects compared to this giant. We are not able to take this giant. They are too strong. They began to give the children of Israel the bad report. The word of promise was there that God has given you this land, just go take possession. And they've been to see the land, and instead of them mixing the word of God with faith, watch what I'm saying. Instead of mixing the word of God with faith, they did not mix it with faith. This is where the problem lies. So you can see what this problem is. On the other hand, Caleb mixed the word of God with faith, the promise of God with faith. This is the issue. And they were able to afflict the other people, the children of Israel, with their unbelief. And this became a problem in Kadesh Barnea and in entering the promised land. But loved ones, this was their pitfall. Now, how can we avoid this pitfall? Here is where I'm going this morning. Let me draw out principles for you and I that we can really key on to avoid the same pitfalls that this man encountered. The first thing here I want you and I to understand is this. Though in life there will be great obstacle that we may face, overwhelming obstacle, but Fear is bound to neutralize your faith if you focus on your obstacle. Watch what I'm saying. Fear is bound to neutralize your faith when and if you focus on your obstacle. As such, the word of God, you become indifferent to the word of God. Let me put it differently. You know, when you focus on your overwhelming challenges in life, fear is bound to neutralize your faith, leading to making you indifferent to the word of God. Please pay attention to this narrative again. You know, coming from Egypt without no formidable trained military personnel, the children of Israel didn't have a good, great, fortified military strength. Perhaps they got swords and probably they got bows, but they were still not as organized as a nation. So with that in their mind, they might feel vulnerable. And when the spies now went to the land and they saw the challenge, and that challenge was huge. But one thing I'm going to tender to you this morning is this. It is one thing to know that you have a challenge. It is one thing to know that you have a struggle in life. It is another thing to focus on your struggle. Again, watch what I'm saying. It is one thing to know that you have a struggle in life. It's one thing to know that there is a huge challenge before you. It's another thing to focus on that challenge. What the 10 spies did wrong was that they focused on the challenge. And the moment they focused on the challenge, fear neutralized their faith and they became indifferent to the word of promise that God gave them. Again, I want you to watch that. They became indifferent to the word of promise that God gave them. We see the similar pattern in the story of David and Goliath. You know, the armies of Israel, they focus so much on Goliath that they lost sight of the word and the greatness of their God. And they could not combine both the word of God and faith. But when David arrived at the battlefield, David was able now to look at this Goliath and understood that no matter how tall you may be, you are never taller or greater than my God. What David did at that point was, yes, to acknowledge that there was a challenge here. But he did not let the fear neutralize his faith, but rather he took the word of God and mixed it with his faith. And because of that, he was able to face Goliath. And he defeated Goliath. And loved ones, this morning, the pitfall we got to watch out for as Christians is this. We must be careful that we don't become so engulfed and focused on our challenges of life. Yes, there are challenges in this life. Yes, you might go through some health challenges. Yes, you might go through some financial challenges. But when those challenges are there, yes, you see them, but don't focus on them. Because the moment you focus on them, fear is able now to come to neutralize your faith. And when fear neutralizes your faith, you will become indifferent to the word of promise. You will become indifferent to the word of God. You will begin now to doubt if God is able. You will begin to doubt whether God is still with you. You will begin to doubt the presence of God. You will begin to doubt the assurance of his mercy. You will begin to doubt all those things. Why? Because you've let fear neutralize your faith. Loved ones, that is why we need to go back to the scriptures and learn what the writer of Hebrews taught us about the Lord. He said, you know what? When we run this race with endurance, we must keep our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And who is that person? The Lord Jesus Christ. What the author of Hebrews is telling us is simple. Mix the word of God with faith. When you face challenges in life, yes, it will come. Don't focus on your adversities. Don't focus on your storms. Rather, take the word of God. Mix it with faith and keep going on. Keep fighting on. God is on your side. No matter how great the giant before you might be, God is greater than every giant. No matter the obstacle that might be before you, God is greater than every obstacle. You must understand that as a believer. When you understand that, you will be able to avoid the pitfall of becoming desensitized to the word of God and not mixing it with faith so that it can be profitable for you. Second thing is this, loved ones, I want you to key on. The principle I want to draw from here. You know, when you have a mindset of unwavering courage, mixing the word of God with faith will come to you very easily. Again, I want you to write this down, loved ones. You know, when you have this mindset of unwavering courage, you know, mixing the word of God with faith will be a no-brainer. You know, again, go back to this narrative. I want you to watch in this narrative. Two persons stood out, Caleb and Joshua. The 10, they kind of exhibited something that was a lack of courage. And we see Caleb in this text. Caleb will say to the people of Israel, he said, "We shall by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." Caleb here had courage. He believed in the power and in the glory of his God. Caleb believed that God was more than able. And God will say of Caleb, he said, you know, only Caleb will enter into the promised land because he had a different spirit. The spirit that Caleb had was the spirit of unwavering courage. Unlike spies who fear neutralized their faith, that their courage were diminished. And again, they were leaders. They were leaders that were supposed to understand the oracles of God. But the fear neutralized their faith that they became discouraged. And that's the key. They became discouraged. They did not step forward. They could not trust God. They could not mix the word of God with faith. They could not stand upon the promises of God. They could not stand upon God's unfailing word. And they failed. And again, loved ones, this morning, to avoid the same pitfall, we must have a mindset of unwavering courage. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear keep going on. In other words, in spite of fear, you still press forward. That is what courage is. And this morning I share with you, when you have courage, that yes, I know there is a challenge. Yes, I know there is an obstacle, but I'm stepping forward by faith. And I tender to you this morning, you know, like God told Jehoshaphat in that battle that he went to against all those kings. I believe God wants us to understand the same thing this morning. That all he wants us to do is to show up. He will do the fighting for us. Watch what I just said. All we need to do is to show up to that battlefield. All we need to do is to face that challenge. God will do the rest. The showing up is where the courage is. Is that you step to the plate. And you trust that God who called you, that God who spoke this word of promise is able. When you do that, that is when the victory comes in. You must have to step to the plate. Have courage. And if there is one thing today that I believe is lacking among some of us as believers, it's courage. It's courage to step out and trust God. Courage to be like Peter and step out of the boat and walk on water. I truly believe that the Lord is calling some of us to get out of that boat. The boat of our comfort zone. The boat where we feel so secured. God said, come out of that boat and step on water. But for you to do that, you must have courage. And your courage has to do with mixing the word of God with faith. Understanding that God will call you, will never leave you. And faith is what does great things. Because by faith you can move mountains. By faith you can call into being what is not. By faith you can change events in history. Because you boldly step out for Jesus. And there is a call this season, in this time and in this age, that we as believers must step out to the place with courage. We must step out and be courageous for Jesus. And when we are courageous for Jesus, we can move and change our culture for Christ. But it requires a wavering courage in the midst of fear. And loved ones, this morning, to be able to mix that word of God with faith, you must have this unwavering courage to stand. This is my final point this morning, loved ones. And this is it. You know, when you fail to take God at his word, you shut the door of blessing on your own face. In other words, when you fail to take God at his word, you shut the door of your own blessing. Again, I want you to look at this narrative. I want you to look at the 10 spies. And these 10 spies, in their unbelief, they spread the same gangrene to the other people, that a whole congregation of Israel began to murmur against God. Why did you bring us out from the wilderness? Why did you bring us out from Egypt? To die in this wilderness. Why did you do this? Why? And they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea. They rebelled against God because of the word of the spies. And because they rebelled against God, God now instructed Moses. He said, listen, they went out to spy the land for 40 days. It was going to make them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And all the generation that saw his glory, they will perish in the wilderness. Do you see that? Because they refuse to take God at his word, and they shut the door of their own blessing. They could have easily entered the promised land and took possession of the promised land the first time around. But then, because of unbelief, they rejected the word of God. They rejected the word of promise, and they shut the door of their own blessing. And loved ones, I tender to you this morning, we must avoid doubting or rejecting the word of God. You know what? There is a connection between accepting the word of God and blessing. Doing the will of God and blessing. There is a connection, a direct correlation. And I truly believe that many of us, self-inflicted, we reject God's word. We don't take God at his word and we shut our door of blessing. We don't take God at his word and we go to other places to do it ourselves and we shut the door of blessing. Loved ones, this morning, for you to experience that blessing from God, you must have to take God at his word. Listen, the word of God is not a suggestion. The word of God is a command. And if we as God's people begin to take the word of God at it is and believe what God says, that if God says this is wrong, it is wrong. That no matter how you feel, no matter how society said it is, if the Lord said it's wrong, it's wrong. And you and I begin to obey those word of God and begin to stand in the power of the word of God, we will begin to see the blessing of God upon our life, because mercy will follow those who obey God. Those who fear him, God will show mercy. Those who fear him, God will show favor. Those who fear him, God will begin to pour out his mercy and his grace upon them. And this morning, loved ones, I'm saying to you, you have to mix it up. You have to, by faith, believe in the word of God. You have to say to yourself, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to mix the word of God and faith. I'm going to stand upon the promises of God. I'm going to stand upon the word of God, because I know when I stand upon the word of God, I will never be shaken. I will never falter. I will never fail, because God will stand with me. God will stand for me, and I will begin to see change in my life. Oh yes, at times it might not come easily. It might not come instantly. You know, some change might not come. But God said, when you stand, when you trust me, when you believe in my word, I will send you peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that this world has never seen or never received. And my brothers and sisters, this morning, the reason that we and I, you and I can stand when we go through trials is to focus upon God and let his peace saturate our souls and help us to truly be the man and woman of God that we are called to be. This morning, again, I challenge you. You got to mix it up. Faith and the Word of God, mix it up. It's in the mixing that you grow in grace. It is the mixing that you become fruitful for the kingdom of God. May God this morning give us all ear and heart that we may hear, thus says the Lord. Our Father and our God, this morning, O Lord, we give thanks for just the blessing of this day and for the power of thy word. Holy Father, may thou now consecrate this word that those who hear will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.